This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozle.com. That's business.mozle.com. Thanks to Mozle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week. Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host, as always. This week on the show, we have a first-time guest, but it's from a company that I've been seeing a lot about in the news lately, and it's time to do a deep dive on the implications for the workplace. Welcoming Vlad from Coggy. Vlad, welcome to Apple at Work.
Thank you, Bradley. Thanks for having me.
So before we get started, I have a bunch of questions, and because this is something I've been thinking about a lot. But if someone does not have any idea who you guys are, can you give us the 40,000-foot view?
Sure. So Coggy is mostly known for the premium search engine called Coggy Search. But what we are really trying to build is an ecosystem of tools for consuming the internet. It's a user-friendly, user-centric ecosystem of tools. There are no ads, there are no third parties between the user and the information provider. It's a subscription-based premium model.
I was talking to somebody recently, and like I found myself, I was looking up something the other night. I was like trying to find out like, well, who had this actor been in, like a movie? And I found myself going to a Gen AI tool to find it. And I thought, that's interesting. Like, it was like one of those, like, I've unlearned muscle memory from like just going and searching on a search engine. And I think that's because, you know, you and we look about the same age. We're on video when it's recording. I remember, you know, Google, when it was like that same experience, when you would just search and you would find things. And then over the last 20 years, and it's not to say that Google is bad at all. Google makes a lot of great products and they work very well. The search experience has largely changed, and it just is not the fun experience of like, I have a question and I want to find an answer. And so, I mean, what led you to think, I'm sick of this, let me create something new? Like, how did you come to that realization that like, actually, let's fix this?
Yeah, let me just say that I have a lot of respect for the people that work at Google and the technology they built. It is the business model that fundamentally, blew it up for Google, I would say. The thing that made me start working on Coggy in 2019 was I was searching for something and I got the sponsored result for that thing. And then the next thing was the organic result for that thing. I remember this vividly. And these were two basically same results. And I was looking at that. And at that moment, I realized that this is A, insulting my intelligence. B, I realized that I was not the customer of this product. And the reason why I was seeing the ads is because the customer for Google is the advertiser. And that's sort of fundamentally changed my perspective on Google as a company. Until that day, I thought, you know, it was serving my best interest. I was just, you know, ignoring the ads and things like that. But that example sort of woke me up and showed a much worse side of Google, the product. And you know, I felt like it's insulting my intelligence. And that led to all sorts of realizations. And ultimately, I decided that for something as important as searching the web, as information consumption, you want to have an information provider that has your best interest in mind. And you want to have the information provider that aligns the incentives with you. the customer. And that was fundamentally not possible with an ad-based model where you always have an intermediary or an advertiser between you and information. And the only way to achieve that is to align incentives and have a subscription-based model. So a search engine where you pay the product like you pay for so many other products. And then the search engine is incentivized to provide the best quality search results, or the best quality search experience, aligning all the incentives.
You know, there's something, the incentives is the key word there for me. And I think a lot about that. I think that when you're ultimately trying to serve the end user, the economic incentives for a company are really, really good. And that's the challenge in advertising, particularly ones where it's heavily programmatic. And again, obviously that fueled a lot of the web internet's expansion, a lot of e-commerce. And like, it's not bad in and of itself, but it's a very slippery slope in how things have changed. And obviously people are becoming more aware of privacy. And I would argue that the world would be a better place if you understood the true cost of everything. And I think for paying for something as essential as search to have a really good experience, that's not tracking you, that's not essentially trying to data mine, that's a really good experience. And the cost is very reasonable. It's useful. And so it's strange. It's almost like things that maybe would have cost money in the late 90s went free for 20 years. And now we're getting back to let's just get it back to pay for things. And this seems simpler. You all launched, I believe it was 2022, correct?
Correct.
What were some of the, when you first, that first go-to-market motion, what was some of the initial reactions from some of your early customers? Was it like, this is a breath of fresh air? Because that's honestly how I view it. Like you kind of, when you've had this slippery slip down some really cluttered search pages, it's got to feel a breath of fresh air for your early customers.
It surely did. I remember we launched on June 1st, 22, and first day we had a couple of thousand paying customers. So there was obviously a build-up demand for a search provider that just honors the user for a change and does not optimize for an advertiser. It just went up from there. We have been growing mostly organically word of mouth. And Kagi now has close to 50,000 customers from all over the world, over 4,000 families on a family plan, which is something I'm really proud of. And, creating a search product that my own kids will use is part of why I built Kagi. It has been an interesting ride because we were up against one of the most entrenched habits in our society, that search is somehow free and God-given, where the truth is it's just a product built by one big tech company. And that product has customers, and those customers are not the users using it, which is a fundamental thing that was wrong with it. Kagi set out to change that, and I think for many people who have tried Kagi and see the Kagi difference in experience, there's no going back. And we get a lot of anecdotal evidence from people who say, I sat down with my friend's computer and I had to use Google there and it looked like swamp. and it just felt so strange, to not be treated as a customer again. So for something as important as information consumption, and I want to make that difference, ads have their place in society. But I make a pretty strong distinction between ads in information consumption scenario and ads in entertainment scenarios. So it's completely fine to have ads, in entertainment scenario, in a movie or something like that, where it doesn't matter. But if I'm researching something that will affect my family, affect my financial decisions, affect my political decisions, I want the information provider to have my best interest in mind, full stop. So that was not the case until we launched Kagi. The information providers and most of them still today that are ad-based do not have the user's best interest in mind. They're optimizing for their customers, which are the advertisers. And the search experience has deteriorated as a result of that over the last two decades, as you overly optimize for that other outcome and not for your users. So that's the piece of market that Kage found demand for, and I'm happy to report we are growing nicely and organically as a result of that.
You know, from the business side, I think about this a lot. Like, Google Workspace is a fantastic suite of tools, but you know, companies obviously, rightfully so, like want to know like how their data is being used. And I know there's obviously a lot of agreements with enterprise tools and searching, and we're not going to dive into those. But I do think there's something to be said for companies wanting a more focused search solution, I guess, is maybe the right thing, because there is this like overlay with LLMs today. And again, like, you know, as I mentioned, it's like you could almost use those as a little bit of a search engine just for information gathering in a cleaner way. And then it's just like wanting to know, like, if you're searching, like, I mean, I'm, you know, if you're searching for like a problem, like, you know, the IT problem, like, you know, what data is being transmitted search engine. So you all a few months ago, I believe, launched a team solution, Kage for Teams. Was that, I guess, where, you know, where was the demand from the customer side, or did you all think we can have a solution? It seems like, to me, it's probably one of those. You got people signed up personally, and they're like, "Hey, we need this at work too."
Yeah, that's what has been happening. A lot of our customers are in tech, either running their own startups or working at a startup or at a tech company, and they basically demanded that we create a plan for onboarding their own team or their own company, which we did. And we launched a few months ago. We have over 100 teams already using Kage. And it just makes a night and day difference. It's not just about the lack of ads. What Kage does really, and what we are known for, is the quality of results and search experience features that further can increase that quality of results. And just to give an example, one of the most used features in Kage is the ability to block a website in the results, for example. Very simple thing. If there is a pesky website that you don't want to see ever again, you just say block and it's not going to show ever again. And similarly, you can raise the ranking of any websites. Like, if your team use a certain documentation website or things like that, you can permanently just raise it up in the results. And the end result of that is that usually on Kage, when people search, the thing they're looking for is going to be number one result almost 90% of the time, top three probably 95% of the time. And there are many other things that we do to increase the quality of results, which in turn increases the productivity of people. And, you know, when you have people working in research, or knowledge workers, you know, if you can save a few hours a month, that's well worth the $10 or $25 Kage subscription. So,
yeah, I'm reading here in your FAQ that, like, you know, you're seeing 60% faster research times and higher quality outputs, you know, saving 5 to 10 hours per employee per month. Pretty significant. Yeah. And again, it's all about finding the information quicker, and it's in the economic incentives for a business focused search engine, whether it's like using, you know, Gen AI technology mixed in, you're just wanting to find the information. Again, it's like, I like how you differentiate between like information and entertainment, because I'm the same. Like, I love ads. I think ads that are appropriate and like relevant and not intrusive, they're perfect. I mean, like, there's an ad on my podcast. It's simple. It's short. It's targeted at the, you know, customers who listen to this show, and it's not intrusive. Like, it's a win, and it helps you know, fund the show. And I think, you know, ads are fine in a sense, but like as you mentioned, it's when you're trying to find the information. I do, you know, talk about, if you can, the integration with LLM. So, because that's to me is pretty interesting. So you've got, you know, universal AI access built into the teams, where it's, you know, you can access the AI models from OpenAI, Google, Anthropic, you know, Meta, and others. How does that, you know, how do you mesh in with like the LLM data with the just getting you to the right website?
Yeah, so basically LLMs, when they showed up 2 or 3 years ago, they did present a fundamental shift in the way we consume information. And I'd like to think about them in terms of a capable filter. They're able to sort of filter out information from any source and synthesize it in the way user wants. And in terms of information consumption and search, what is happening now is this shift towards LLMs basically synthesizing information from multiple sources and presenting the answer to the user. Now that has its own fair share of problems. Still, this technology is being developed. You know, we have hallucinations and all these problems. But what really helps mitigate them or lower them is having accurate references. So if an LLM can be provided search results that are accurate and up to date, and Kagi certainly tries to do that, then suddenly you can get very high quality information. And the way Kagi implemented LLMs is we have an integration philosophy, basically saying that LLMs are used on demand, so we are not pushing them those kind of results in your face like some other companies are. So you can basically choose between search results, a quick answer, which is our synthesis of search results, and then you have a full chat experience that we call Kagi Assistant, which provides basically an API-based access to almost every LLM model out there that you can also ground in Kagi search results. So we kind of have end-to-end offering that connects both the classic search and then LLM enhanced information consumption for those people who need it. So this works pretty well in practice.
How does the pricing work for teams? Because you know, you all say it's fair and flexible pricing, and there's some ways to users that are away or not active, it converts into credits. How does the pricing model work for teams?
Sure. So we price teams exactly the same as individuals, so there's no extra markup. And basically, there are two plans: the professional and ultimate. Professional is $10 a month, gives you access to unlimited search and some AI models, and ultimate brings access to all the top LLMs in the world. And basically, you can mix and match the seats as you want. So, you know, some users can have just the search, some can have the full AI. And one of the things that we do is basically, if a user does not use any of these services in a month, we just credit them. So basically, we call that fair pricing, and that also goes back to our individual plans. If you subscribe to Kagi and you just don't need it in a month or don't use it, we just credit you back the full amount. So, you know, it's in our goal to, again, align incentives with our customers, create a product that they will love, keep us honest, and, you know, try to make money by selling a premium quality product, not by, you know, taking advantage of someone not using the product or things like that.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. You want to drive revenue from your customers using it. And if they're not, it's fair. And then, you save those credits for the future. I think that makes sense because it incentivizes you all like to not be the gym model where you got a bunch of people signed up but not using it. It's like, actually, we want to put go to our customer success teams and like, hey, your customers aren't using it enough. Like, as we think they probably think they should or what they get value, let's go try to help them more find better workflows so they can make the most use of it. It makes a lot of sense. Again, I think this is a service that is long overdue. And I love that you all have seen such tremendous growth in the early years of the product. And I think it just shows there's a pent up demand. People for the longest time were simply willing to trade attention for content. And I think you're seeing a little bit of a pendulum swing back. When not saying that everything, there's a model for freemium. You all have a free model where it's, you know, you can get 100 searches a month. I think it's just we are moving into a more of a hybrid world, which I think is healthier, where yes, some things are going to be free and then some things online can be paid for. And you know, with that, you can get a really great experience. And then, you know, you as the company are incentivized to keep that experience great. because you're not trying to be beholden to an advertiser. You're being beholden to people paying you that subscription. Again, not to say that all advertising is bad, but it's just your incentive there is for the end user. It's really, really cool. Vlad, this has been a great show. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us. We're going to have a link in the show notes about the Teams product. Again, I really, you know, outside of just like the privacy focused search, I think one of the things here that Teams could really see a benefit is this merging of search with LLM together. And I think it's a huge benefit when you can do that in a way that's privacy focused. That's like kind of almost like the cherry on the sundae, because I think that's so much of like the way, I mean, I even think of my own use cases. I was trying to, in my home lab the other day, I was like trying to fix something. I was, you know, reading the logs, pasted it into an AI tool. And probably in years past, I would have pasted, I would search the error in Google or search engine. Now I'm pasting the logs into AI. And again, you want, you know, it would be really cool if you could, you know, find that and then find a forum that talked about it and how to fix it. Like that's the dream, is it can merge all these things together. So I think that really is going to be the secret sauce going forward. So again, I'm very proud of you guys for taking this on. I think the world needs it. The industry needs it. And we just need more, we need more competitors here in search. And I think that's good for everybody. That's good for Google. It pushes Google too. So again, yeah. Congrats. As you know, closing the show, can you give us any hints on what you guys are thinking about next, or, you know, what's next from Kagi?
Well, it's about really creating an ecosystem. I don't think search is enough. We want to create an ecosystem. We are building a browser called Orion, currently available on Mac and iOS devices. We're working on an email product, and we really want to create this friendly ecosystem of tools that is user-focused, user-centric, as an alternative to big tech. So hopefully by doing that in the future, there will be more choice on the market, and people will not be beholden to just one ecosystem. So that's really what we are working on, and creating really strong integration between these products. So there's a lot to be done, but we are committed, and we are encouraged by the support we are getting, including from you. So thanks so much for having me and the support.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for, I love my ecosystems, but I'm all for competitors. Nobody on the audio will see it, but like I'm actually testing an e-ink cell phone. And I'm like, you know, I want more competitors and everything. And I think it's good for everybody. Like, you know, and that, again, you know, new email ecosystems. I mean, so much of our tech world has been dominated by, you know, five companies, and they've done a really good job. Like all these companies make really good products, but you know what makes even better products? More competitors. And so it's really, really good. It's good for ultimately, this is good for customers. Even if someone doesn't use Kagi, they're benefiting from you all pushing big tech to do better, do more. So again, thanks for listening this week. We'll have some links in the show notes about Kagi for Teams, so you can learn more about it. I think this combination of search not being enough and layering all the other things into this kind of work ecosystem, I think there's a lot of value there that we're going to see over the next, you know, 5 years or so. Again, Vlad, thanks for coming on the show this week, and we'll talk to everybody next week.